Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
You don't have anything. You can't escape. Take the sack, live to play another down, and move on.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We're also brought to you by Wine Tasting Driver. Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. We're also brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin County for over 60 years. Coming up, we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' Thursday night loss to the Packers, and we'll look ahead to the Niners game in New Orleans against the Saints on Sunday. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. It was an awesome PGA Championship at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, won by Colin Morikawa. We'll always remember the shot he hit on the 16th hole. And now the course is open to the public. And if you're a resident of San Francisco, visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Well, Steve, the 49ers drop a Thursday night game, and here we are talking about it on Monday evening, so they're pretty far removed from it. But it was ugly, and you know, you didn't really expect much when you knew that the 49ers were going to bring a lot of players off the practice squad to play in this one, six in all. A lot of players that, you know, fans may not have even heard of. And, you know, especially when you have your starting quarterback out, you got three of your top four running backs out and five of your top six pass catchers out as far as the offense and your Pro Bowl left tackle, you know it's going to be a big challenge going up against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. So it's not really a surprise, but, you know, at this point in the season, you're losing this game, dropping to 4-5, a lot of time to think about it. What do you think that the Niners and the coaching staff are thinking going forward with the Saints game on the horizon?
Tina reminded me, she said that was a rough day at the office.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah.
I mean, got everything you said. I mean, just every playmaker was out. Looks like we'll get a few back this week, which will help. But we just, I would say we didn't run the ball that well, and we didn't keep drives alive. I mean, we weren't very good on third down, and therefore gave the ball back to Aaron, and didn't play keep away and didn't put points on the board. And we had a few turnovers.
Yeah, and it's really tough when you don't have your normal receivers. I don't know how often you experience this, Steve, whether it be in college or the NFL, where you're going to receivers that, you know, you really haven't thrown too much. I mean, Nick Mullins hasn't played that much as it is, but basically you got right. Trent Taylor who's around, but Richie James has been out with an injury, and he had a great game we'll talk about later. But Kevin White, River, Craycraft, all these guys that you're not familiar with, it's got to be difficult for the quarterback.
I mean, I'm sure it is. Unfortunately, some of them I hadn't even heard of. I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I hadn't. I mean, they're coming off IR. I mean, not off IR, coming off practice squad. It wasn't like they played bad at all. Craycraft, unfortunately couldn't hang on to that early one for the touchdown. I think that's who that was.
Yeah, it was. And I thought he had it there, but then he just lost it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Had a couple catches, in the game it's just hard. You're going up against a good team and you don't have your playmakers and you can't sustain drives and literally keep the ball away from, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback and an offense that was moving pretty good, and Devontae making a statement.
Oh man, what a game for him. 10 catches, 173 yards, a touchdown. Yeah, he was wide open a few times too, where he just blew by Jason Verrett and Marcel Harris that one time. Injured Jaquaski Tartt didn't help out right there. He's out during the game, so that doesn't help, but he was open.
Ran some good routes, and they obviously had game planned to get the ball to him a fair amount, which they did. But I wouldn't say defense was bad. I think we played okay, but I guess Aaron and their offense were better than we were on defense. I don't think we made any glaring mistakes. There might have been a bust here or there in coverage, but I didn't think it was anything glaring. But it was a few players just being better than we were.
Well, I guess the biggest problem, Steve, for me is that they just don't have the pressure on the quarterback like they used to have. And we knew that after the Bosa injury that was going to be the case.
Yeah.
But they really couldn't get much going on Rodgers, and he's just going to tear you up when he has time like that.
Yeah, and if we can't, and we talked about this, if we can't blitz, if we have to bring five and play man free, or bring six and play zero coverage man with nobody in the middle of the field, that's going to be a long day. I don't think we have those types of shutdown corners.
Well, I think Emmanuel Mosley has kind of been in the spotlight this season. When you think about it, I mean, he went up against DeAndre Hopkins early on, the Arizona Cardinals, DK Metcalf, who's one of the best in the business, and now you got Devontae Adams. So, I don't know how to evaluate him when he's going up against those top receivers.
I think they're both pretty good. Like I said, it's not like they were – Devontae had a great game. I don't know if he overpowered us like maybe Metcalf did, or maybe the young guy from Miami, just with sheer size, sheer height and length. Devontae ran good routes and obviously made some tremendous catches.
And you've seen this for years, by the way. You've seen this for years he played with your son, Christoph. I mean, you must be pretty pleased with the development you've seen from Devontae.
Oh my goodness, it's really fun to watch. Because in high school, he had played a little bit as a kind of middle schooler, but then had that horrible arm injury. So really, when we got him in high school, he was a junior, so he was just, he was really just learning, and he was playing quarterback as a youth, so he was just learning to play receiver. And obviously, whoever coached him at Fresno State did a terrific job. And for him to go to Green Bay and play under Mike McCarthy initially, and basically play in the same offense that he played in high school, he walked in there on day one and knew what he was running. And how to run it. So, it's been fun to watch him. And obviously, it doesn't hurt that Aaron Rodgers is getting the ball.
Oh, that's right. Well, so at Palo Alto High School, your son was the quarterback. Devontae Adams and Jock Peterson was also a receiver on that same team, right?
Right.
The Dodgers outfield.
When Christoph and Devontae were juniors, Jock was a senior.
That is something else. Those are great athletes right there.
And our third guy was faster than both of them.
Wow,
Maurice Williams. who was a track guy. I mean, who could just flat out fly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Speaking of Rodgers, by the way, he was caught on a microphone because Fred Warner was mic'd up. And Rodgers said, "You're the best and everybody knows it. You should be an All-Pro." And this is the second week in a row we've heard this about Fred Warner because Tony Romo said it on the CBS broadcast. So now Warner is getting some accolades here, some recognition, which is well-deserved. Yeah. And it's good to hear that other people are noticing this.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's obviously played extremely well. And we've talked about him and just the sheer athleticism, the way he runs, the way he can get to the ball to make tackles, the way that he can cover a back, a tight end, shoot even a few times. Was that a couple weeks ago when he was covering the receiver?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's a very athletic player and a special player. So it is nice to see. Yeah, really good.
We'll have more with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono right after this. Planning a trip to wine country? Do it the safe way and hire a driver from Wine Tasting Driver. They're a group of fun-loving, wine-loving people who are social, friendly, and looking to show you around wine country. Whether you're visiting Napa or Sonoma Valley, their guides are here to share knowledge, laughter, and conversations about wine or anything else in between. They're not the stuffy polyester suit-wearing limousine driver that detaches from the group. They are right in the middle of it with you during your car ride, between stops, and of course, available to help throughout the day. From running errands to picking up lunch, they'll make sure you have the best time possible. So give Wine Tasting Driver a call at 707-681-7050. That's 707-681-7050. Or go to winetastingdriver.com.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
All right, let's get back to the quarterback situation. First of all, let's evaluate Nick Mullins a little bit because, like we said, receivers out, that's hard. You have Justin School getting beaten a few times, you know, that kind of led to the interception, the lost fumble. But there were other passes that could have been intercepted. So Mullins, to me, even though the numbers don't look so bad in garbage time and everything, it was kind of a mediocre game for him. What did you think?
I thought he played okay. I mean, it wasn't anything great, but I don't think that Kyle's expecting that from him. I mean, you know, and that's where we have to have the running game. You know, I don't see Nick, you know, being the Aaron Rodgers and necessarily throwing people open or making throws to make the DB be wrong. He hasn't played that much, you know, enough to do that yet.
Right.
I mean, I thought he played okay. I mean, yeah, there were a couple times where he shouldn't have thrown it, but I think the thing that I thought about most was what does Kyle do going forward? I know what my answer is.
No, I want to get to that in just a second. But one thing you just said there, though, that kind of led me to think about the experience and being familiar with a receiver, because you see Rodgers so familiar with Adams. They just know each other. And you saw in one play, there's a play you may or may not remember, but Mullins was trying to throw to Taylor, and Taylor's sort of making his adjustment to the cornerback, but Mullins is still throwing to the route rather than what Taylor was doing there with the adjustment to the cornerback.
With the adjustment.
Yeah, it's very hard for a quarterback to do that if you don't have the experience, I would think.
Yeah, it definitely. And if you don't have the experience with that receiver, that's the biggest thing. I kind of do remember. I kind of do remember the play. Yeah, I mean that's. I don't know if I have a better answer than what you just stated. That if you don't have the experience now, he probably has more experience, obviously, with Taylor than he did with the other guys.
Yeah.
Even James. I mean, he hasn't been out there playing much. So, and I don't know how much he's been practicing, but yeah, those kind of sight adjust, kind of I don't want to, you know, get open in the window type routes. Sometimes need a little bit more time to get them off for a receiver to adjust it. You're kind of coming in like, okay, do I sit in this first window or do I get past the linebacker and sit in the second window? Sometimes if there's a hesitation there, then there's a sack or there's an incomplete pass or, unfortunately, even worse, an interception. So yeah, that all of that familiarity helps.
All right, to answer your question and get into this conversation, you know, I know where you're going. I kind of agreed with what Troy Aikman was saying, that I would have switched to C.J. Beathard maybe there in the third quarter. And that, to me, I'd go with him. I know you got to evaluate players. You'd hate to just pull them out. But I would go with C.J. right now and kind of see how that goes. I mean, you know, this is not a lost season as of yet. You got to give yourself the best chance to win. So I'm going with CJ. Yeah. I like the way he's come off the bench so far. It seems like he has the better arm to fire the ball down the field. I know his decision-making hasn't been great, but what do you think?
I would agree with you. When Kyle did not take Nick out in the second half, because I commented we were watching the game with a buddy and with Tina, and I commented, just kind of, will he start Mullins in the second half? Will he start Beathard? And when Mullins started, I thought to myself, okay, if I'm Kyle next week, I'm going to play Beathard and give him an opportunity of a whole game and see how we do. I mean, it's an away game, but there is no crowd, so it doesn't make that much of a difference this year. And that's why I asked you the question. My thought is, yeah, I would play Beathard this week and give him the whole game and see how he does, and then evaluate from there.
I think he'd give you a better chance, Steve, in a shootout type game, which is what I'm expecting against Drew Brees and the Saints. What do you think?
He has a better arm. He has a stronger arm, and we talked about his arm back in those couple games that he played in and played well. That to me, it seemed like he changed his delivery, and definitely for the better. He seemed to lower his elbow a little bit. The ball still comes out nicely, but it seemed to come out a little smoother and not be as heavy a ball. I know I've commented in the past, maybe it wasn't last year because he didn't play at all, but 2 years ago when they were going back, Nick and CJ were going back and forth then, that I thought that he threw a heavy ball and guys had a hard time catching it. I don't think that is the case currently.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, maybe they make that change or maybe they do it in the middle of a game. You know, there was a little bit of good news that came out of Friday when Kyle Shanahan said that Jimmy Garoppolo won't have season ending ankle surgery. Right. So he's going to be evaluated in 4 to 6 weeks. Still, he might only be available the last couple of games. And then if you make the playoffs, so there's a long way to go to that, but at least you got that decent news.
Yeah, that's pretty good news, because that, even though my understanding is that they do that surgery differently than they used to, where they used to, I think I was explaining to Steve when we were playing golf that one day, they used to operate and screw the two bones, tibia and fibula, back together.
Ouch.
And then sew up the ligament. My understanding now is that then you would have to go back in and take the screws out again. So it becomes a much longer process, where now they somehow put a noose around the two bones, a wire where they can pull them together.
Hmm.
And then later just take the wire out.
That's if he had surgery, though. That would be if he
had surgery. That's if he had surgery. That's if he had surgery. Yeah. But supposedly the process is not nearly as invasive as it used to be. But I mean, don't get me wrong. The best surgery is no surgery.
Right, which looks like that's going to be the case. And, you know, if he just gets enough rest, maybe he comes back at the end of the year. But, you know, up until then, you've got CJ, you got Mullins, you kind of know what you have there. I did see an article, Steve, that, you know, it raises eyebrows about Colin Kaepernick, who hasn't played in a couple of years. And, you know, of course, that might bring a lot of excitement to some fans, but what do you think?
Don't even go there. I'm not going there.
It's too much of a gimmicky thing, isn't it?
Yeah, no. That would be a huge step backwards.
But the more realistic thinking is to think ahead to what happens, and we talked about it a little bit last week. We touched on it.
Yeah,
what happens with Jimmy G, the contract, and what happens as far as your next quarterback? Because there are some veterans out there, and I'll tell you, Steve, I was in Atlanta covering the Falcons game, and Matt Ryan, I hadn't seen much of him lately. He's 35 years old. He still has it. That guy can definitely fling the ball and knows what he's doing.
Matty Ice, he's a Philly boy. Of course he's got
it. And he's got a big contract, too. I don't know how that possibly could work, but he didn't exactly get a vote of confidence from his owner recently. I know Arthur Blank didn't say much in the way of like, oh, we want Matty Ice around for years and years, even though he's got this, I think it's like a 4 or 5 year contract. I could see him playing again for Shanahan. I mean, that's a possibility.
Yeah. He's had a really nice career, obviously. And, still has just 4 or 5 years left on his contract. So, that wouldn't bother me if he came. I know one person who would be extremely ecstatic, and he plays right tackle. So,
McGlinchey,
because they're literally cousins.
Oh, I didn't remember that. Okay. Yeah. I think I did
hear
that before. Yeah.
McGlinchey and Matt Ryan, went to the same high school and, anyway, I think they're all wild ones, but you just don't know with the salary cap next year being, I think the agreed to number is $50 million less. I'm going to Google quickly as we're talking, I think the agreed upon number for next year was like I think this year it's almost 200, right?
I think so.
200 million. So I think next year, I think the agreed to number was 125 or 150.
Okay. So you're going backwards on that. Yeah.
So, actually it's going to be more than that. It's going to be 175. I just looked it up. It's 198 right now.
Okay. So it's going down, and that means Jimmy G.
It's going to be 175. So, you know.
Jimmy G would probably have to accept a restructured contract, which I don't know that he's going to be willing to do that.
Gosh, I don't know how they would. You would have to, you know, with given the numbers that we talked about last week. Without thinking long about it, I think you would almost have to, you would have to release him and then re-sign him to only have to have that small hit.
Right, and he would have to say, "Hey, I'm okay."
And then he would have to, you know, hey, I'll agree to it, and you know, they would probably agree to that number up front. Without signing it, then be released, and yeah, I don't know if there are NFL ramifications league wide to that. I mean, I doubt it, but who knows?
It's tough too because you think about it. Like I said last week, this guy's a winner. He's won 24 of
no
his
question.
32 starts, so he's 24-8. We haven't seen enough of him, I don't think, Steve, to evaluate everything. The unfortunate part is these injuries have really kind of hampered the growth that you'd like to see, and people want to see more. They want to see him throw the ball down the field. They don't want to see him make some of these mistakes that he's made. But, I mean, overall, I said it last week, I still want Jimmy G to be the 49ers quarterback.
I completely agree. I do as well. You know, I'm going to go back to throw the ball down the field. That's not his strength, and that's not really off play action. That's in Kyle's playbook, but off of straight drop back, no, I don't think we'll see that. And that, like I said, that's not his strength. So I don't think we would see that much, but. He's won a lot of games, and if I don't have to make a decision based on dollars, then he's my guy. I think, like I said to you playing golf, that if he's not, then you better have the inside track to Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I know, who's definitely the clear number one quarterback to draft, that's for sure.
Yeah.
49ers Extra continues in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in Santa Fe. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your 2-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. So next up, Drew Brees and the Saints, and they just really kind of embarrassed the Buccaneers. Oof. On Sunday night. Brady didn't have a good game. No. You know, and Brees just looking really good now, even though he's one of the older quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, he looked really good. And their defense looked tremendous. I knew they were good. No, that's Tampa. I was going to say I knew they were good against the run, but that was Tampa that was good against the run. They were saying, Cam Jordan and the boys up front in New Orleans, they got after. They got after Brady last night.
One of the hardest parts, though, of playing the Saints there in New Orleans usually is the noise, and you're not going to have the
it's
same
the noise.
Kind of yeah.
Thank goodness you do not have to have that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be a factor.
That's definitely the noisiest place there is.
But they're one of the hottest teams in the league right now. I mean, they've won 5 in a row. They're 6-2. People are talking about the Saints now as being a Super Bowl contender. And we talked about how this schedule it was a rough stretch here. And it's just not easy. The best part, though, is that at least you get to heal up a little bit. You have more days off because of the Thursday night game. Maybe you get a few players, you know, back in there. You don't have the COVID thing, although Kendrick Bourne did test positive today. So Now,
he did, though?
He did, yeah. After, you know, there was the negative, the positive, the negative. Now he tested positive again. So I don't know if he's going to be in there.
And he had two negatives, did he not?
I think you're right. Yeah. And now I saw the latest story was that he's positive. So,
wow.
Yeah. And there have been a lot of coronavirus cases around the league. Are you a little surprised that the league's been able to, you know, not miss any games after everything that's happened?
I have been. I mean, especially with the way cases are rising in general, they seem to be able to isolate well. I mean, you're not seeing, you know, we're not seeing the double-digit numbers. You know, it seems like it's more kind of 3s, 4s, 5s when there is a breakout.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we don't have too much more of that. And by the way, in the NFC West, the Cardinals lost and the Seahawks lost. So it was pretty good as far as that on Sunday.
Yeah.
The Rams were off. But, I mean, even though things aren't going great for the 49ers of late, they're not that far back. I mean, if they get it going, they can still be one of the teams in contention in that division.
They could be, yeah. I mean, and, you know, if you can, I don't know, maybe does 9-7 get you in?
Well, with the new structure, with having three wild cards,
it
could, yeah.
It might, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right now you're thinking about, you're up against teams like the Bears. You know, you're going to be, you know, maybe the Cardinals and Rams that are ahead of you in your own division, but, you know, teams like the Vikings and the Lions, none of these teams really blow you away to say they're so great that they're going to be ahead of the Niners, even if, you know, the Niners are so banged up.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think you have a chance if you can get to 9-7. Obviously somebody in the East is going to get in with a losing record, but
yeah.
I think you at least have a some shot if you're at 9-7. 8-8.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know if that'll cut it this year.
No.
Well, I guess if it's ever going to cut it, it would be this year.
No, it wouldn't.
but I don't think it's going to.
All right, Steve. Well, hopefully things get a little bit better next week. Yep. Hopefully some more healthy bodies.
Rest for the weary.
Yeah, and we'll see about this whole quarterback situation. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, it's only Monday of. They probably. I mean, the players probably still had today off. So it will be interesting to see if Kyle does make a change. I think if I were him, I think I would just to see, you know, who can move the ball better.
I agree. All right, Steve. Thanks a lot, and talk to you next week.
Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next week. We'll talk about the Niners game in New Orleans against the Saints. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com.